Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Brittany Lincoln, CEO and founder of Females in Franchising, a dynamic platform dedicated to empowering women in the franchising industry. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm happy to have you here. So before we get started, the audience always likes to know a little bit about the speaker. So if you can tell us a little bit about your leadership story.
Yeah, so I'll go back a little ways to when I graduated from college, which was 2009. Not a great time to be looking for a corporate career.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You know, being, you know, in your early 20s, competing with people, you know, twice your age for the same position. But my mom had been in the insurance industry for a long time. And so she was able to help me land a position as a receptionist for an insurance company. But I really quickly learned I could not be an underwriter. And so I actually ended up starting my own business. This was 15 years ago. And I think at the time, having been in business school, my degree is in business and management, it felt kind of natural. I had written tons of business plans. And so thought, hey, if there aren't any great jobs out there, why don't I start my own business? And so it was a retail business. I had worked in retail all through college. And I really felt like there was a need in downtown Denver, where I lived and had grown up, for a gift store. I mean, as much as there are the Hallmarks and things like that of the world, I knew from having worked downtown and my mom worked down there, there wasn't anywhere to buy your coworker a card, a gift, anything like that. So Yeah. I mean, honestly, like even the big Hallmarks and things like that hadn't put anything. There were great restaurants, even shoe stores and men's and women's clothing stores, but nowhere to get that little, you know, baby birthday gift. So, you know, I did use some of that business school to say, hey, is there a need, right? Is there a void that's not being filled? I had a business partner. I'll keep it short. I only had that business for about a year, learned a lot of things. We had a nightclub two stories above us. They would have flooding issues with their toilets.
Oh, dear.
We'll spare the audience the gory details, but like most people, oftentimes their first business is not their last and it doesn't always work out. So I learned so much. My business partner and I, unfortunately, didn't, you know, kind of agree on things, which again, sometimes friendship and business works great and sometimes it doesn't. So
sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
I always like to say that was my real world MBA. And then I fell into this world of franchising, and it was kind of the next best thing of, I wasn't being a business owner. I now was in a corporate, you know, sales position, but I was helping other people achieve their dream of business ownership. And, you know, albeit not being a full entrepreneur, because when you buy into a franchise system, right, you have a franchisor, you're given a playbook, you're given support, but you are still being a small business owner. And so spent the last 13 years helping people buy into, I mean, home service franchises. I've worked in health, wellness, beauty, fitness, medical. I now have some brands and like prepared meals and pets and things like that. So it's been really fun. It's been really rewarding to get to see people, right, sort of achieve that dream of ownership, entrepreneurship. But along the way, I have absolutely been sort of in the minority, which is kind of typical for many women in the corporate world, not a lot of women in sales positions, not a lot of women, quite frankly, in, you know, VP, C-suite positions within the franchising world. I've been one of very few. And so that brings me to, I am still in a leadership role. I'm a partner in a franchise sales organization where we help new and emerging brands scale and grow. But I've started this business, Females in Franchising, to create a safe space, a special space for women like me that work in franchising, and almost, you know, for that girl that I was 13 years ago in the industry, and all my bosses were men and all my mentors were men, and they were great. I have nothing bad to say about them, but there's something special about the relationship that women have with each other. We tend to seek out community. And while there are plenty of spaces for, I would say, women that work in leadership roles in the corporate world, as well as female entrepreneurs, franchising is kind of this unique middle ground where we don't quite fit into either of those groups. And so that's what Females in Franchising is. We're going to have a circle platform where we can connect and do calls, and I'll bring in experts both within franchising and without, outside of the industry. And just, I've been blessed to be a part of some groups like that are for female entrepreneurs or leaders. And I've loved them, and they've helped me so much in my career. And I want to give that back to women that are working in franchising. So that's me.
I love that you do that, for that you're doing this sort of community on the side. I come from trucking and transportation, as a lot of my audience does know, and was in leadership positions there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, on those Zoom meetings, you might be the only female in the room, so to speak. So I hear what you're saying. It's really nice that we have groups now that, you know, is for women in, for you, franchising, for me, trucking and transportation, so we can actually feel, you know, a bit more supported, maybe, right? Because it is a little bit more rare. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it's really important to anybody listening that, you know, as a side note, you know, let's support, you know, female leaders, or male if you're in a female dominated industry, right? Like, support that diversity. So thank you for mentioning that today. I think it's an important key point to point out. So I think we now know why, you know, franchising or scaling brands is really important to you. And obviously, you now use a business to do that. What about, you know, if we are leading a franchise or a regular small business, and we do want to scale, how does that differ from, you know, companies that are more stable and we're not scaling? Like, what happens to leadership, scaling versus stable, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I have to just say, I love this uprising of fractional C-suite. I will say, I believe very strongly, for anyone listening, if they have a smaller business and they're trying to scale, me personally, in my career, I have seen it's just now becoming a little bit more common in franchising, but even some of the business owners that I know, that's been a great way to scale, because a lot of times, right, scaling takes human capital and actual capital. And then sometimes there's this, like, we need both, but you can't always do both at the same time. So I will say, for anyone listening, there are so many great firms out there that might specialize in your industry, and specifically having fractional C-suite executives to be able to get, right, someone that's been an expert in marketing or an expert in operations or an expert in sales, that maybe you can't afford to pay them, you know, the salary that they're worth right now, but you can afford to bring them on as a fractional, you know, C-suite or fractional leader. I think that has had a huge impact on small businesses and helping them grow. But at least I'll speak to my industry within franchising. You know, some of the brands that I've helped launch only have a few locations open. The founders are still doing everything, which I know that applies across business, right? And it's like, you got to take that step back and start to put key players into place. And I think, you know, for most people, a COO or someone that can take over some of the operations is usually like that first key player, because again, especially with the rise of AI and technology, a lot of the accounting, finance, things like that, like, my recommendation would be probably focus on that. You might be able to outsource to some of these platforms, some of the accounting and finance, and not even
need for sure
a CFO, right? Which is usually a pretty costly person. So I've seen, you know, franchisors start to use the fractional C-suite. And then, I mean, our industry is very unique, because you are building a business and then you're supporting a lot of small businesses. And so you've got to have, like, your executive leadership team for the business in general, but then you also have, you know, sometimes people underneath them where their role is supporting, right, these other small businesses, these franchisees that are out there. But again, I mean, not to say that a fractional leader couldn't do a great job. I see that across our industry. I see fractional CMOs, CDOs, CFOs that might be supporting multiple brands. So that'd probably be my biggest recommendation, at least just what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is helping people get to that next level without having to become super cash poor, right? By building out a whole C-suite or bringing on a, I mean, if you can get someone that would be an advisor, versus having a board, that can be helpful too. But I personally love the fractional C-suite model. I think it's a great way to, dip your toe with a seasoned executive without having to, bring them on full time.
And it's interesting that you mentioned fractional services, because I literally just added that as packages to Amplifying Leadership. But you can like get 10 hours, if you don't have the need for that 40 hours a week person, whether it be to lead something, or get that marketing thing out or whatever it is. Fractional services, you're right, can be very beneficial because you're paying a lot less. You're getting the experience and you're not paying the full salary because you don't need it in most cases. And sometimes it's temporary, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. And I mean, there's even for smaller organizations, there's fractional virtual assistants out there. Like there's so many fractional services. If you don't want to hire someone full time, it's a great resource. It really, really is. So I'm very happy that you mentioned it, because I think a lot of scaling brands, they just need something in the interim too, just to help push it along type thing, right?
Yeah. And I'll share really quick too. I'm even utilizing it with females in franchising. I am not a tech wizard. And so I have like a fractional IT person that's helping
There you go.
me that platform. And again, I ended up finding her and saying, look, I'm just launching this platform. I don't need someone on full time. Do you do? And she has a membership. I pay her for 10 hours a month. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do the hire in growth mode if
Right.
you don't need it, if you don't, or if you're not sure if it's going to work, right? So when we are scaling and we're in that really big growth mode, which, I hope everybody's starting to see that a little bit more than we have been over the last few months. But if you're in a growth mode, how can we make sure we're making decisions effectively, even if it is about who do we hire and when, or when do we go to market to say we now have ABC? What are your suggestions around that? So if we're growing or we're growing our franchises, things like that, what would you say can help us with some of those decisions?
Yeah. So I am not a big like meeting person. I like, as much as I know that they can be, important and a lot can get done, you also can be like death, by a thousand paper cuts, right?
Yes, I 100% agree. Meetings need to be effective.
Yeah. But I will say, in my experience, and it's very interesting because I even lived through, times where we were so busy and we had salespeople doing 12-hour days, and then COVID hits and it's like sitting here twiddling our thumbs. We don't have much to do because no one wants to buy a franchise in the middle of a pandemic, especially at that time we were representing a lot of fitness, health, and wellness brands. So,
A lot of them were closed for a while.
A lot of them were closed. We didn't have a very compelling, sales pitch at that time, but we did implement just an all hands once a week. And I do think just that is everyone rowing in the same direction. I think as a leader, you sometimes get bogged down with people requesting these one-off things. But we've found in our organization, if you have that, and we do make it an hour, but it is a standing, we found that to be really effective because our team members, even people that are like coordinators and scheduling calls and things like that, if it's sound the alarm, they'll reach out, right, to me or their leader. But for the most part, it's show up at that meeting on Thursday with your list, with the things, we'll knock them all out, and then we're good. And then everyone has their marching orders. So I do think, to your point, if you can be strategic about it, if you can be really intentional about it and make sure that your team knows, right, hey, fire alarm, yes, reach out. No one wants something or with a client to slip through the cracks. But small thing could be addressed now, could be addressed in a week. Bring that to your Thursday meeting, your Friday. For us, Thursdays work kind of great. Beginning of the week tends to be pretty busy. That's worked really well, for me and my team. And I think it's a good, at least for us, it's a really good cadence, right? Of there's always going to be the emergencies, but for the most part, if you're meeting every week, you're checking those things off the list. People have their to-dos after that, and nothing seems to fall through the cracks. Because for a while, we had some of our sales team in just head down, right, making calls, And then all something would come up and it's like, how did no one know this? And we're like, well, we're not meeting. We're not, right? We're
Not
not.
yeah, communication's a big part of it, right? You have to have the communication, especially times like when we had COVID and stuff like that, or when you're scaling, that's got to be huge, the communication strategies.
Yeah. Or something like Slack. I will say a lot of people live and die by their Slack channels. I know that that can be super helpful, but even that, right? I mean, if there's people putting too many things into Slack, even Slack becomes, right? It's supposed to make your life easier. Even, platforms like Slack can bog you down if there's
They can.
any notifications.
Yeah. Or you have too many groups and then information isn't being shared properly and things like that. A lot of things you got to be careful with Slack or Teams or whatever other, program you might be using. Let me ask you this. If we're in a growth mode or we're scaling our franchises and we're adding locations, and I'm a brand new leader for you because you did have to hire me, what strategies do you have that can help me lead through this? Because I'm coming in, I don't know much about you, but now we're suddenly scaling. What strategies could you maybe have for our new leaders out there who might be coming in the middle of something like this?
In the franchising world, it's kind of unique. I will say a lot of people have to learn by doing. And so sometimes when we've brought on new people, whether it's a director of marketing or anything like that, it's actually taking them to a physical location and making sure that they understand, hey, you're supporting this franchisee in marketing. But before you do that, I need you to understand what this, this person has a Pilates studio or this person has a prepared meals, store. I need you to understand what their business is so that you then understand who you're supporting. We'll say a little bit different, in other industries, but we've found making sure that you almost sort of take them back to the basics of, hey, while you're not running this store, you're supporting this person that's running this store. You need to understand what they're doing before you can really provide good support. And then, know this is an easy one, but training. We've tried to document everything. Document everything, even as people are leaving, right? This new person coming in could be because someone's leaving. Most of the time I would say, people leaving want to leave on good terms. It doesn't always happen that way. We always make sure if someone's leaving, that we're doing that exit interview and we're asking for their best practices. And hey, were you doing anything a little bit different than I think that's really important, Even if you're having those weekly meetings or you have your Slack channels, sometimes salespeople or ops people or marketing people aren't always sharing the little tweaks and changes that they've made to their process and how they're doing. So at a minimum, right on the way out, and again, I would say most people, especially if they're maybe moving on to a different opportunity they feel is better, want to leave, their past position in the best pace possible. So for us, hands-on learning has been, re really, really effective. And then just having absolutely everything documented. And these days, I would say documented in video can be really nice. We love Wistia. We host all of our videos on Wistia. And a lot of people learn better through video than just by reading, right, a 50-page training manual. So I also think there's ways that technology can help you streamline that process and ensure that person comes in, feels welcomed, and then making them part of those, part of those calls. But I do also think just having a level of empathy and compassion, whenever you hire someone new, go the extra mile, check in with them a little bit more. I think all kinds of studies that say, right, like I think it's like within the first 10 days or something like that, right? A new employee knows whether or not they're going to stay. And so what can we do, right, as the leadership team or their direct if there are direct report to make sure that those first 10 days are like amazing and they want to stay.
And supportive, right? Which I think, comes from maybe there's a one-on-one at the end of week one or the end of the first day and then week one or whatever, just to see how they're doing. Do they need anything? And more training. Training and documentation are two things that you brought up that I just tell people when I'm coaching or doing consulting. Documentation, whether that be video or written. I mean, my industry, most times it's more written than video. It depends where they're working, but it just having that there so that after you train, there's some sort of a support system. Or like you said, if somebody's so used to doing it and they train and they miss a step, that there is that supporting documentation, supporting video or something that helps them to continue to learn, or that they can refer to if they forget and Brittany's not in today, right? So I think that that is extremely important. I work with clients to help them develop processes, and I see the need for it because, you know, their employees may ask me something like, why do we need to document this or video this? And my first answer is, well, what if I'm brand new and you're not here?
Yes.
I need to know how to do the job, right? Other cases, it could be, you know, like there might be some sort of legalities. It could be that their customers require certain things and stuff like that. But definitely for training, I think that's great. And when everybody's busy during scaling, I'm sure you would agree having something that we can refer to if, you know, Brittany's not available for new Tara, like that there's something there, right?
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So next question is, I want to know how we can help leaders. It doesn't matter if they're new or not, but just how can we help them when we are trying to scale and brand and we have employees who are feeling like the stress that comes around, because a lot of employees start to feel burnt out, stressed, I can't take anymore, blame time for everything. How can we help our leaders manage through that so we can get through the scaling or the new franchise that we're opening? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's really important. I think corporate is getting better at treating employees better. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I think for a very long time, this hustle culture, even right, or this startup culture, right, of like, yeah, you're going to burn the midnight oil. Yeah, you're going to work 12, 15 hour days. I think we're starting to see more people either that have lived through it or left because of it, right? You know, recovering from it, whatever it might be.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like speak out and say, I've seen a lot of founders on LinkedIn and places like that say it's not good. It's not healthy. And it's definitely not all glamorous and all cracked up as it is to be, as people might make it look on social media. So I do want to give, I think, overall the corporate industry, I would say even franchising, credit of, I think we're getting better. I still think there's room for improvement. I think those check-ins, right? Like sometimes, especially most of my background has been in sales, right? You tend to have these sales teams, right? Where it's like, you know, work hard, play hard, and we're a family. And, but we don't check in on each other like we're a family, right? If you saw your brother, your sister, your cousin working these hours, not seeing their family, like you would probably check in on them. And yet, you're a part of a sales team, or if you're a part of an executive team that's scaling a brand and you know everyone's working just as hard as you, you're probably not as likely to be like, but how are you really? So I do think as leaders, asking that questions, not just of your reports, for sure, even of each other, right? Of your peers.
Yes.
I do think there's still, as much as we've gotten better, there's a little bit of this, well, if they're working just as hard as I am, you know, whether it's we don't want to admit that it's getting to us, or we don't want to, I don't know, press, right? You know, we don't want to get too personal, but I do. I've even had conversations recently with peers and people in the industry. It's challenging right now. I don't care what industry you're in. You have, you know, economic fears, you have tariff
Yes.
fears, you have, right? Like there's just, and I think just, you know, how are you? You know, how is it going? As simple as it is, that how are you really? Is there anything you want to share? And then I think, I mean, corporate wellness plans and benefits, I am a huge proponent of that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And maybe just reiterating to your staff that, hey, we have this stuff in place. You know, so beyond just like verbal check-ins, in-person check-ins, if you guys are all in the same office together, whether that is if you're the CEO founder doing a lot and you have a lot of people working for you, or you have some levels of leadership. But I also think just having some things in place like that of, you know, do you have like a plan where people can go and get a massage? Where it's not going to solve everything, but you're showing that you care, showing that you recognize. And then the one other thing I will say is just, I think rechecking in with people on what their goals are. I think that's a myth sometimes, right? Because you're going to have some staff members that are like, I want to work with you forever, and I want to help you build this company up and sell it or IPO it. And, you know, they're all gung ho. And you could have someone else that's like, I really just want to support my family. Like that person, if they're
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
seeing their family, like that's probably the person you got to check in more on and figure out what do we need to do, or ask that hard question of like, is this sustainable for you? You know, or are you missing out on time with your family working here? Can we do something? Maybe I can't do anything. Maybe this is just the job that you got into and this is what we need. And if it's not right for you, then let's have those conversations before it's too late. But I think that's also very interesting, right? Like, I think sometimes as leaders, it's kind of easy just to be like, yeah, they all have the same goal. And it's really not the case. We're all human. We all have different hopes, dreams, desires. And I don't think we ask that question enough as leaders.
Yeah, and I really do like the idea of asking that question and just like, how are you really? Like adding that one word is, how are you? I'm fine. How are you really? It changes the narrative immediately, right? And I want to add to your point too, because it's such a strong point, is, you know, we do our thank yous to our employees all the time. But as you mentioned, what about our peers or those above us? Like just saying that thank you can be a huge mental health thing for us as well. We feel heard and welcome and feel good, even if it's, you know, you're under me. Well, thank you. I appreciate that because I never hear it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to add that. I think that point was really greatly made. Let's check in with each other. Let's check up too, not just checking down with our employees, right? All right, great. Is there any one or two last thoughts that you want to share today before we wrap up?
I have a stat that I would love to share.
Sure, yes.
So I'm big on mentorship. It's a big reason why, right, I wanted to start Females in Franchising. I have so benefited from joining groups where, you know, there are people that maybe have not achieved the level and success that I've had. And then there are people that have way more of it. And I'm like, I want to be you when I grow up. And
Right.
it's so beautiful, right, to have mentors, but to also have mentees and give back. And so I recently came across this stat, and it is that people that have mentors are 5 times more likely to get promoted than people that don't. So
Wow.
I would really, really encourage. So wherever you're at, I mean, if you're a founder, you've made it to the top, but you still could use that mentor to chat with, to bounce things off of. But if you're part of a business that's scaling, that's growing, if you're looking to further your career, I would really encourage you to think about, you know, finding a mentor, or maybe you're that person that could be a mentor to someone else. And how great would you feel if you knew that your mentorship help them elevate in their career?
Absolutely. I had a lot of mentors in my career and I appreciated every single one of them. And I still appreciate, I have a coach, but I still appreciate that type of support as well. Thank you for a great conversation today. I really appreciate it. If our audience wanted to find out more about what's coming up for you on your community or more about what you do, can they find you somewhere online?
Yeah, so website is just www.femalesinfranchising.com. If you happen to be in the franchising world and are interested in that, I will also say, if you happen to own a business and you're interested in possibly franchising it, the business I'm a partner in, that's what we do. And we are Limitless Franchise Growth. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, websites www.limitlessfranchisegrowth.com.
Thank you so much for sharing both of those. I mean, they're both important. So thank you very much, Brittany.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Of course, Brittany and I want to thank you, our audience today. We hope you gained some valuable insights or tips from today's conversation. If you are a leader who knows that leadership development and growth through coaching and consulting are key to your leadership journey, or you'd like to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. And before you go, don't forget to grab this quarter's free leadership resource, Your Guide as a New Leader. It is designed to support your new leaders in the first few weeks to build credibility, gain trust, and set a strong foundation for leadership. The link will be in the episode summary notes. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.